Welcome to Average Meeple. Average people talk about games. My name's James.
And I'm Casey.
And today we're going to do an episode based on a request we received, which is to better describe what a legacy game is. I've had some experience with legacy games myself. I don't know what your experience is, Casey.
I've played Risk Legacy.
Okay.
Not all the way through. And I've played Pandemic Legacy, or Season 1.
Season 1.
Not all the way through.
Okay.
So I have two partial experiences with legacy games, but I think all rules still apply.
Yeah, yeah. It's enough. I mean, as long as you've played a few sessions, I guess. Yeah, I think that's enough. I have a little bit more experience. I've played through Pandemic Legacy Season 1, 2 full playthroughs. And I've played through the game Charterstone, the full campaign, or full whatever you want to call it. And Pandemic Legacy Season 2, halfway through it. And I played two games of Risk Legacy.
Holy cow.
I know. It's weird because I feel like most of my games I've played 0.5 times on average.
Oh, yeah.
So between 0 and 1 time. And then I've played through, like I said, Pandemic Season 1, 2 full times.
Risk Legacy twice.
Risk Legacy, I've played through literally two sessions. Two
full things of Risk Legacy.
No, sorry, yeah, yeah. Two sessions of Risk Legacy, okay. Two full Pandemic Legacy Season 1s.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be a lot of Risk Legacy.
You just love legacy games. This is I'm just going to sit in the back, not talk the whole time, and just let you do everything. Maybe I'll hum every once in a while. Yeah,
just throw me a jingle once in a while.
Yeah, I'll do some jingles.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll talk through it. The request actually came from a friend of ours, and they had asked if we could give some sort of concrete examples. It's tough because obviously I don't want to spoil any real content that exists, so we're not going to give any actual examples. But I think we can make up some examples that are real enough, and they'll get the point.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are certain rules or something, hard to articulate this, but there are certain elements to a legacy game that I feel are true to almost all legacy games.
And right.
Yeah, we'll get through those.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit too, I suppose, about what isn't necessarily a legacy game. So there's a lot of games that have campaigns that you play through and follow a story through.
Right.
But aren't necessarily legacy. And we can discuss some of the differences there. And then there is a little bit of gray area kind of in a couple of games, but we'll do our best to kind of, I don't know, get through it. So in my opinion, I mean, the core piece of a legacy game, sort of just at the highest level, it is a game in which the rules of the game actually change from session to session. I think that's, maybe not just the rules, but there's some aspect of the game that evolves from session to session. And typically, in every case I've seen, there is sort of not necessarily a limit to the number of sessions, but it's built around playing 10 games or 20 games. And I think the ones I played after that, you can always kind of keep replaying, but it sort of stops evolving, the story has ended. So for instance, Pandemic, when you're all done with it, you can kind of use it to play regular Pandemic still, but the legacy aspect has been used up permanently, and you can't sort of there's no resetting it, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. And I think evolve is a very good word there to describe it. While the rules do change, they are different. What you do and what your actions or inactions are impact what those rules and what the game state becomes in the future. And I think that's a core component to legacy games, is your choices and your decisions matter, and they make a difference in, what's to come in all future, I guess, playthroughs or sessions of the game.
Right. And I think oftentimes too, when I think of legacy games, I tend to think more along the line of, and maybe it's because I've played so much Pandemic Legacy, I think sort of that co-op, story-driven kind of game, but really it doesn't necessarily have to be. Again, Risk Legacy is completely competitive. Charterstone, which I played all the way through, is completely competitive. There still was a story element to it that you were playing through. But I don't know if that necessarily has to be true. Typically what I've experienced in legacy games is in the box. So let's say you open up a fresh legacy box, right? Most games, you open it up, it's going to be some chipboards, some pieces, whatever, maybe a game board. And you're free to look at all that, dig through all that, see it all, play with it all. Cool. In a legacy game, probably 2/3 of the box you're not supposed to touch. You're going to open it. There's going to be a rule book. There's going to be some pieces, you know, something to play with. And there's going to be a bunch of either envelopes or boxes or something that actually usually will say on them, like, you know, don't open or, you know, whatever. And there's more components, there's more pieces, there's more who knows what in all of these boxes. And at some point during the game, those will be opened. Or maybe they won't be. I mean, again, it's all triggered on some event, you know, and, you know, we can give some more examples, you know, pseudo examples later. But yeah, those will be opened and they'll add pieces to the game. So there's actually like a lot of stuff in the box that you don't even know what it is until midway through the game. I think that's also sort of a key element to a legacy game as well, at least everyone I've ever seen.
Right. Yeah, there's like a finite number of scenarios, et cetera, that you play through chronologically, I guess, is the only term I can think of. But subsequently, you play through them one at a time through the whatever the story is. And yeah, the game state changes. You open boxes, you find new pieces, you change pieces, you change the board, mm-hmm. you change things permanently. And I think that's one of the big cruxes, or like the big one of the core elements of a legacy game is that things change permanently. You don't get to change them back. There's not like an undo button. There's not a, hey, go back 3 steps and retry button. It's just, you put some physical thing, you make a physical change. Sometimes you like rip something up. Sometimes you like throw it in the trash and it's no longer there anymore. Sometimes you put like a permanent mark on a card or a permanent sticker on a board or something that doesn't let you go backward. And I think that is a key element to a legacy game. And I think that's what really makes a legacy game, is that it changes and there's no undo button. It's just forward as we go.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and stickers, I think, is the biggest way I've seen that done. I mean, usually there's like a whole multiple sheets just full of stickers. And yeah, they'll even in the rule book, I've seen where you open up the rule book initially, which you can look at to read the rules, but there'll be a lot of blank space in it, which is like open space. And you'll literally take stickers and put them in the book later on, which actually change rules or change setup in some way. And yeah, or even on the board, you'll draw on the board. In certain games I've seen where you're actually exploring the board, like you'll see this little corners filled in when you first unveil it, and the rest of it just blank. You'll be putting stickers on there to reveal the rest of the board and things like that. So yeah, literally permanent changes, you know, which is, again, I agree. I think that's a key aspect of a legacy game. But, you know, that's, it's also what makes a legacy game, like you said, you can't go back, and it's sort of what makes it sort of have an end, right? At some point, you're gonna have used all the stickers, you're gonna read through the whole campaign, and yeah, maybe there's some sort of game left at the end where, okay, well, now that you've explored it all, you can kind of replay that final scenario or something, that final day, let's say, but you can't really redo the legacy, right? You can't just peel all those stickers off and do it again. It's just not really how, you can't untear up a card or something. It's just not how it works. Mm-hmm. So I think that gives a pretty good, and again, I think it gives a good sort of high level explanation. I think to compare that to something like that feels somewhat legacy, but it's not, like a campaign game or a scenario game, I think that's the big difference, right? If you're playing a scenario game where it's meant to be session 1 through 10, you're going through a story. Typically, after that story is over, you could go with another group and just start back at session 1, take just the starting cards or whatever, and do it all again. In a legacy game, that's just not the case.
Yeah, I do. I agree. That is the key difference between a campaign game and a legacy game. It's that permanent aspect of changing the game itself. In every campaign game that I've ever played, you can technically go back. Like, there's nothing that stops you. Like, yes, stuff's revealed now. You know things that are going to happen. You mm-hmm. understand like where the story's going, where things are going. But there's really nothing that's physically impeding you to go back and just redo the whole thing or like start a scenario over or just do it again, you know, with different combinations or whatever the case is. Some campaigns encourage that, encourage you to play multiple things or multiple times through, et cetera.
Right.
Whereas a legacy game, you just can't. You can't do that. You if you were to start at the beginning, well, now you have new pieces. You have new board. Right. You have new, like, rules. You have new everything. Like, everything is different now. And it's always going to be that way. Unless, like James, you just start a whole new, like, legacy, like, fresh out of the box kind of thing.
Right. And that's important to know. When I say I played through Pandemic Legacy Season 1 twice, I mean, we bought two copies of it. Two different play groups, different people played through it. And, yeah, we had to go through two separate copies of it.
Yeah. And I know I've talked about, like, I play Gloomhaven a lot. And you can say, in some aspects, Gloomhaven has like a legacy aspect. You're supposed to put stickers on the board. You reveal the map. Things do change on like the game board. You're supposed to put permanent marker on it to like show that you've leveled the town up, etc. Like different tick marks to show that you've done things. But you can just not put permanent marker on there. You can just keep track of that in other ways. And we actually got like removable stickers so that we could take it back apart and like replay it's in all that as well. And we've actually restarted that whole game. And I think that's just to our point here is that I've played Gloomhaven, the campaign. I've restarted it and redone the whole thing. And it's the same. Like it's the same experience that I had prior because I was able to just go back in time, press an undo button, and bring in new people and restart it. Even though I think that one's pretty close, you do a lot of things that can be permanent, but I guess in the way that we did it, we didn't make permanent changes to the board, which required us to get like a special sticker set, which was really the only difference there. We just got a special sticker set that allowed us to do that, just an easier, you know, peel and stick and pull away. I guess technically you may be able to do that on a legacy game, but there's so much different.
Yeah. There's so many things that change. And yeah, in a lot of cases, like you just throw stuff away. Like this card would never be used again. Tear it up and throw it away.
Yep.
And yeah, you can just not throw it away.
It's a weird feeling, like a single use game. Like it's a strange, like feeling. When you like take a component and you're like, wait a second, I paid money for this thing and I'm supposed to like throw it in the garbage mm-hmm. and it's not Cards Against Humanity.
I mean, I get you. I mean, coming from like Magic the Gathering, probably the first thing I ever played, and it's like, I'm like sitting there sleeving up every card. Right. And it's like, yeah, just take this one and tear it up. Ooh, no, there's something cringy there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that's the thing, like, you'll probably play more sessions of a legacy game than you will of any other, like a normal board game, like your typical board game. Go through like your board game collection. You'll probably play each one of those games on average less times, like on average, right? Less times than you'll play a legacy game. But it still feels weird that it's a single use thing, mm-hmm. right? You're never going to be able to give it away. You're never going to be able to trade it. You're never going to be able to like resell it, do anything like that with it. You just have it. It's just there. It's now yours, and it shows that you did it. You accomplished this thing, and only really you're going to know about it in your group that played through it. But you will get just as many, if not more, uses and more playtime out of that one box than you will, on average, your other boxes that are in your board game collection.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, to me, that feels, you know, it's definitely dependent on playgroup to playgroup. I think for me, that's probably true. But, you know, and in the legacy games I've played through, I think it's been about 15 or so sessions on average. It's usually, I mean, from what I've seen, it's like somewhere between 10 and 20, depending on how it goes type of thing. Mm-hmm. Which is a good number to me. Again, you know, if you know, 20 playthroughs of a game, I'd say you got your money's worth. But it is weird to think, like, I'm going to buy this. There's only a fixed number of times I can play it, and then I've just finished it. Like, why wouldn't I buy something else? But like you say, I mean, I think for me and probably for a lot of people, that's just more plays than you'll get in most games in your collection, so why not? But I will say, I think that evolving, you know, the way the game evolves, and you know, I want to give some examples here in a minute, it's just so cool to me. I mean, I'm so excited every time I play one, and I'm like, ooh, we just triggered something. Let's see what's in this box, you know, because it could be anything in that box. It could be a boat in that box.
Could be a boat. Yeah, it does. It does give you that, like, that build up in anticipation as to what's coming, what can be next, what's around this corner. Oh boy, did I mess this up? Or what happens now that we failed? You know, is it going to be that bad? You know, you know something's going to happen. You know you're triggering something. Something is going to change in the game, and that is exciting. And it's neat and it's new. It's not like you're just replaying the same game over and over again, even though you are technically. It's enough of it changes and enough of it evolves that you feel compelled to continue and compelled to, succeed.
Right. And I think to me, the one drawback of a legacy game separately from, oh, it's going to end or, oh, you know, there's a limited number of plays is the fact that once you sort of start playing with a group, you're committed to that group.
Right.
Which again, may not be a downside for some people. But it's stuff if you have a couple different group of people you play with, or, you know, you don't get together that often with certain people or whatever. So it's like, once we start this, we have to finish, you know. I mean, I guess you could try and swap people in and out and catch people up, but it would just be very, very awkward and clunky to do, I think.
Yep. And that right there is the reason I've not finished a legacy game. Like, things change, people change, things move on. I'll probably end up finishing Pandemic Legacy Season 1 solo, just because I will never play again with the group I started it with. Like, it's
right.
That's just the way it is, and luckily I'm the owner of the game, I guess, and can just do that. But.
Right. All right, well, I think let's just try and, you know, make up some examples here. So I was kind of brainstorming this a little bit earlier, and I came up with one that I know the person who requested this, I think can help. This will help give them some context. So most people, I think, listening to this have probably played Settlers. Or maybe not, but it doesn't matter. Settlers of Catan is going to be sort of an example based. I don't believe there's a legacy version of Settlers of Catan. There may be. I've never seen it. But so I don't think I'm spoiling anything here. I'm sure I'm not. You can imagine so Settlers of Catan, you know, this big island you're exploring around, whatever, building towns and cities, cool. There's an expansion for it called Seafarers of Catan. And this might be like, you're adding water around it and other islands, and you can now build boats. You could think of a legacy game having something like that. Maybe the first time, so, you know, when you first open the game, it's just regular Settlers. And then maybe there's some triggering event, like the first time a player collects sheep and wood on a single die roll, it triggers some event. So open box number 7. And you open box number 7, and in this box is some water tiles and boat tokens or something like that. It's like you can now build, you know, add this sticker to the rule book that says, okay, when you do setup, add these water tiles and add this other sticker that says, okay, you can now build boats with, you know, wooden wool or whatever, wooden sheep, and you can now build boats to other islands. And I think that's kind of a lot in a single box. I don't know if it normally evolves quite that much, but it could be something like that.
Right. Just off the cuff, like, think of Monopoly. I feel like everyone who's listening to this podcast has played Monopoly, understands Monopoly. Let's say there's a legacy, and maybe there is a legacy Monopoly, I have no idea. But let's say you land on jail, and let's say on the fourth time someone lands on the jail space, right? It triggers an event. And that event tells you to remove all the get out of free jail cards and replace them with, like, get out of jail but pay every other player $10 cards, right? That's a permanent change to the game. What'd you say?
U.S. dollars.
Yeah, 10 actual U.S. dollars out of your pocket. Not Monopoly dollars, not Monopoly money, just real money. But it changes the card that's on there. Or it, like, puts something on there that says you pay this other person $10 every time you land on jail now permanently. Every time you play this card. You want to play this card? well, you're going to have to give up $10. Now, like, that's a change to the game, to the core function of the game as you know it. That's permanent. And from then on, that's the way it is. It does not go back. You do not get that card back. It's just always that way. Or like a space changes in Monopoly. Boardwalk now becomes something else, right? Fairground, right. Whatever, right? It just becomes a new, like, street. I don't know all the streets in that. What's the city that Monopoly?
Oh, Atlantic City?
Yeah, Atlantic City. I don't know all the streets in Atlantic City. We change it to another street, right? It's now a different street with different costs forever or something, right? Or now maybe it's permanently yours. You start with that one and you put a sticker. Like, those are changes that happen in a legacy version of a game that don't allow you to go backward. That you did this thing, now it's that way.
That's a really good point and example you just made about now you start with it. Not all, like, changes in a legacy game are just generic rule changes that apply to everyone. Some things, like, affect a single player, like, you know, whoever wins this, every time you win a game of Monopoly, you can choose one of the properties you owned at the end of that game. For every subsequent game, you start with that property, type of thing, something like that. So you might get, like, a special boon or bonus for winning. Again, it doesn't have to be winning. Maybe it's a catch-up mechanic. You know, if you lose the game, then you get to pick, you know. So it's like, but some things apply to a specific player. Yeah, they change setup. Now this player starts with this. Maybe you get an additional die roll. Instead of rolling two die, you always roll three die. Any sort of just kind of permanent change like that, it might affect everybody or it might affect just one player. You know, I was trying to compare, you know, Catan to, like, a known expansion, but I think that's something you could think of. If you've played some games and you've played expansions for games, you can kind of generically think of how one might go from, like, a base game to a game with multiple expansions that all came in one big box and are sort of triggering effects that slowly added in the expansions. I think it's kind of and usually there's some story that's telling that's kind of getting you there in some way, but I suppose it doesn't have to be, but I think I've always seen there be some story. And so I think, if, again, it's weird to just make up examples. And again, I don't want to spoil any real ones, but I think that's kind of a good way to think of it. Like, if you ever played a game and you played that game with the expansion, just think about how something could trigger that. Now the expansion is permanently there, type of thing.
Yeah, it's a new game state, a new way the game is played, and a new approach to the game from start to finish. Yeah, they can, other changes that they make, and I think this is pretty typical, like, if you pick a character or something, even in Pandemic Legacy, right? You have, it's really the same starting, like, classes. What are they called there? Professions? Is it professions?
Oh, in Pandemic Legacy? Oh, Pandemic.
Whatever they're called. You're starting, like,
profession
person.
Might be right, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever your starting person is, whatever their abilities are, they're pretty typical. They pretty much match up one-to-one, but then you have extra slots that are just designated that these things are going to change. There's positive ones and there's negative ones. And I think that's pretty typical of a legacy game too, is the character or the thing that you choose to play as or that you are playing as will change. It's not always going to be the same. Things are going to be different on it, and you will impact how it plays in the future.
Right. Or maybe some catastrophic event happens and that player is just no longer available anymore.
They're gone.
They're gone. And that's a case where you might just say, rip up this card and chuck it in the trash.
Just chuck it.
Or you just, you know, gently put it back in the box and say you ripped it up.
Yeah. If you're James, you just can't let those things go, right? It's just, you can't.
We can just not play with it. Why do I have to rip it up?
Yeah. Why does it have to be ripped up? I can just say that I ripped it up. I can just put it off to the side, like, kind of like in this, like, the beside the plastic parts of the box, and no one will ever find it. No one will be the wiser.
The case where that doesn't work, I don't know if you've ever played, and I'm getting way off on a tangent now, any of the, like, exit or, like, escape room type games.
I have not. I have heard they're really good. I've heard they're really enjoyable.
I've done one or two of them. They're actually a lot of fun, but they're single use games. And yeah, you actually have to rip stuff up, because, like, you literally, like, need to, like, solve puzzles. You have to, like, fold things over to, like, I don't know, somehow reveal something else or whatever. And anyway, that's the exception to that rule.
Well, that brings up a good point though. Like, why is that not a legacy game? Even though it follows a lot of the things we just talked about, what's the big difference between a single use game like those exit games and a legacy game then?
I guess it kind of falls back maybe to those two things I said in the beginning. One, I don't think there's really any hidden components. Like, nothing's added to the game throughout. And two, I don't know, it really evolves. It's really just like a puzzle. Like, it's what to compare it to. It's not a puzzle in the sense of like, oh, fit all these pieces together. It's more of a puzzle in like a logic problem, maybe, you know, like, you know, they're kind of hard to describe, actually. I don't know.
When I'm thinking,
go check them out. They're cheap. They're like $10, and you know, this is even harder. We were talking about, oh, a legacy game's weird. Like, I play it X times, I'm done with it. This is even weird. Like, I'm gonna play it one time and I'm done with it. But you know, if you compare it to any other, so you and your friends are gonna get together, group of four of you or whatever. You're gonna do this activity for 2 or 3 hours, and it's gonna cost you $10. Like, that seems very reasonable compared to anything else in the world that a group of four people might go do for 3 hours for $10, right? So if you think about it that way, it really doesn't seem so bad anymore. They're a lot of fun. They're actually kind of challenging sometimes. I think I did two of them, one, and they have usually have different difficulty ratings, like novice to expert. I think I did like one novice and one like intermediate, and it's the intermediate one is actually kind of challenging.
Yeah, I think to go back to my question here, the thing that doesn't make it a legacy game is that it is once. You do it once, one time. It doesn't evolve. It doesn't change. It doesn't, like, you don't do things differently the next time you play it permanently. You just don't play it again.
Right.
Do it and you're done with it. It's like opening a meal, right? You're going to make it once. You're going to eat it and it's going to be consumed. It's done.
This guy doesn't do leftovers.
Yeah. Who does leftovers? I really don't do leftovers though. I'm not a big leftover fan unless it's like a couple specific things. Like chili, great. Tacos, great. Everything else.
I can do leftovers for
lasagna. Lasagna's good.
I can do leftovers like that day and the day after, and then I'm done. I don't do leftovers for 3 days.
See, Those are it. Those are the three that I can eat on multiple. Actually, that's about it. Like, I don't do other leftovers. I just can't do it. Just something. I don't like it. And I cannot eat like reheated chicken. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know what it is. It just doesn't. It tastes like rubbery in beer.
Chicken gets very rubbery.
Yeah.
Depending on what kind of chicken it is anyway. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Put it in the trash. It's like a reheated Little Caesars pizza. I'm sorry, Little Caesars. You're all right out of the box, but once that thing's reheated, it's just trash.
Once it's cold, it's trash. Once it's not hot anymore.
There's no bringing that back. No. Something happens to it when it cools up.
Oh, yeah. They're like the chemical like components to it just are altered permanently. And yeah, it goes from delicious to disgusting real fast.
Yeah, not good. All right. Well, that's legacy games. I hope that helped clear up some confusion or, you know, add some understanding to what makes a legacy game and, you know, what doesn't.
Maybe it just confused you a little bit more. And in which case, you can drop us a line at averagemeeple.com/ask and leave us a comment there and tell us how poorly we explained legacy games and ask us some other things that we can explain to you just as poorly.
There you go. An average explanation.
Yeah. It wasn't that it was poor. It was just very average. And that's why you come to us. So you can get those average explanations.
We even have an average time of saying the word explanation.
Oh, yeah. Explanation is a tough word, apparently.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Please continue to find our podcasts wherever you find our podcasts. And, you know, the usual thing about we're working on some other stuff, but check out our website averagemeeple.com and follow us on Twitter @averagemeeple for updates. Yeah.
Check us out on Instagram. Check out some of the pictures that we're taking, some of the board games we're playing. It's been a lot of fun getting together in person and playing board games recently. And yeah, we're sharing pictures on there as often as we take them. Anything else, James?
I think that's it.
All right. With that, he's James, and I'm Casey. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next time. Permanence, is that a word? Is permanence a word?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's just go with it.
For now, it is.
Yeah.
Put it in the dictionary.
Yeah, put that in the dictionary, slap it down, permanence.